What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome back to the Dolphin Collective Tuesday edition. Because we actually have an elongated week because now we went from playing a Thursday to playing a Monday. So little extra bye week. But real quick, gotta shout out the sponsors. First, SeatGeek, go check them out. Use the promo code PHINSFINS, and you get $20 off your first purchase. 28 million downloads, 70,000 plus events, whether it's concerts, sports, festivals, all that good stuff. Again, the Dolphins are playing home Monday night in the rival jerseys. You want to go to the game? Use SeatGeek. Grab yourself some. Also, got a shout out, Sleeper. Now, if you come and watch Friday's video, we are going to use Sleeper to talk about the More or Less fantastic fantasy app. Love using it. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. So $50, they're going to match you. $75, they're going to match you. $125, they ain't matching you. Just up to $100. And finally, we have Manta. If you don't know about Manta, they're these really cool sleep masks. 100% blackout. You can move the little suctions for your eyes. Breathable. They come with this. They come with the case. They come with earplugs. Fantastic. If you're a nurse, these are perfect
sound.
For you.
Mine has sound to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got the fancy one. Well, if you want to go grab that one as well, use the code PHIN Dolphins, not PH, but Dolphins. You get 10% off. We all got them. These things are fantastic.
Absolutely. My wife took mine.
They're comfy.
I had to go grab them before the show.
They're real comfy. So let's jump into this. We'll start with the first topic, Darren Waller. Now, there's talks that he's going to play. There's talks. Now,
yeah, we had talks week one, too, and then he suffered a setback.
Wow, you went there. Waller the baller.
Let's chill out. Let's chill out. I already caught passes today.
Ooh.
I was there.
We back, baby. We back.
Here we go. Now, if he does play. Now, again, we got like a mini bye because we played Thursday, and then we're going to play Monday. If he does play, how many snaps do you honestly think he's going to get?
That's good.
22.
Red zone?
Third down package, red zone. I mean, it's a two tight end sets. He's not Julian Hill. He's not going to replace Julian Hill.
No.
Julian Hill is your starting tight end, like it or hate it. He's your starting tight end. And let's be real about it. He hasn't been an issue this year so far.
Mm-hmm.
No issues with Julian Hill.
Other than the fact that Tua's ignoring him. Yeah, no, it hasn't been an issue. It can't be an issue when he's being ignored all the time.
What was it, that third down, fourth down play?
No holding.
That is true. Not killing any drives.
And he's going to replace Tanner Connor. And I think it's really going to be matchup related, red zone related, third down related. It'll be interesting to see if Tua uses a tight end this year now that he no longer has his blanky Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. Speaking of, are they going to use him like Jonnu, or because of the injury, are they going to like, is he going to be doing screens and stuff like Jonnu did, or do you think they're going to really?
I don't recall him being a yak guy so much as he can get open down the field.
Gotcha.
Whereas Jonnu would give you the yak.
Mm.
I haven't seen him throw to Tua. Throw it to Tua. Like I and you guys know Tua will tell you. Tua doesn't have chemistry with you. He doesn't throw it to you.
Mm.
They got some footage today of those two working.
Okay.
Tua's wearing a rivalry helmet.
One day.
I got my jersey. They got anyone wants to get a rivalry jersey. I just bought mine. They have a merino one out. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, go get yourself a merino one. Okay, I think it just dropped like on Monday or something. I grabbed myself mine. Hopefully, it'll be here by the game time.
Yeah, okay. That's a good. What? Why don't they sell like Zach Thomas and Jason?
That's what
Taylor.
I'm saying. Jason Taylor, like get a bunch of them there.
I'm sorry.
Do they have a Rick Norton jersey?
Who?
Do they have a Rick Norton jersey?
Well,
encyclopedia, bottom right corner encyclopedia.
That went all over your heads. Rick Norton was the first quarterback in Dolphin history.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I knew that. I wanted you to have your spotlight. That's all.
Somebody was before Bob Priestley. Got it.
How is Darren Waller mentally? Like, I obviously you guys probably can't really tell, but we're at a point. Remember in the offseason we were talking about him mentally, and you know. Does he want to do this? Now we're week four into the season. Does he seem like he's like gung-ho, or you have no idea?
He's stuck around. He hasn't spoken to the media since what? Like when he first got returned to practice, which was about a month ago.
He's spoken on social media. He said, "Be easy, my boy," or something like that, like to people who were panicking about the fact that he was sidelined. Like, I don't know. I couldn't.
No. I mean, but I guess he'll talk to the media sometime this week. And I'm going to guess he's going to say, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, all the media members are going to ask and are going to request him, and he's practicing. So technically, he's supposed to be made available per, you know, PFWA rules or NFL rules. It's in the contract.
What is the schedule like this week for them?
No practice tomorrow.
Everything pushed back to
so then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then
No.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah, push my preview video back a day. Dang nabbit.
Yeah. Hate Monday night games.
My dad does because obviously he works. He's a truck driver, so he hates night games because he's like, I can't even watch. Like the Halloween game where we got the walk off, he was sleeping. He came downstairs to go to work and he saw me screaming. He's like, "What happened?" I said, "Wake did it."
that was the night of Richie Incognito. That where the news broke. I remember because Richie Incognito left in a Superman costume. He was going to a party. I say that, and I will never forget that night. That was the last time I saw Richie in person. Where he was wearing, he looked like Superman.
Jeez. Speaking of defense, let's talk about Anthony Weaver. And let's talk about this defense because
how'd you go from Richie Incognito Superman costume?
I brought up Cam Wake.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was
trying to transition. Go ahead. Total defense ranked 26th, passing defense ranked 21st, rushing defense 28th, scoring defense dead last. Hey, we're 19th, tied for 19th in sacks, though. We got 6 sacks. Third down defense, 31st. Takeaways, 30th. It's bad. Fun fact, our third down offense is number one. So yeah. Don't really blame the offense for the fact
all that from the Buffalo game.
So we'll go around for this one. Is Weaver responsible for the lack or the hot garbage on defense? We'll start with Omar.
Damn, I got to start. I actually just wrote a column in the Miami Herald, which basically is the opening line. Like, absolutely nobody expected this. The unit that you expected to be the backbone of your team is horrendous. And I know everybody's obsession is with the quarterback and the focus is on who makes the money and Mike McDaniel's play calling and all this kind. And when is Mike going to be fired? But the guy that most people want to replace Mike McDaniel, his unit is doing the absolute worst. Mm-hmm. And realistically, and they talk about its communication and they talk about it's, oh, well, we've got a lot of young rookies getting their feet wet and learning about the game. And they talk about, oh, it's we haven't developed chemistry, and oh, we got to be better on first down and second downs to rush the passer. None of it's good. None of it's good. And it has to be Weaver who's accountable for it.
Yeah. Alan?
Why does everything go? See, you're like, your whole thing is, why does everybody blame Tua? My whole thing is, why does everybody blame Anthony Weaver? He ain't the one who's not getting to the quarterback. He ain't the one who's messing up, like, the big 30-yard completion to Elijah Moore on Buffalo's last drive. I mean, you tell me that he schemed it to where they have, like, a 10-yard radius wide open in the middle of the field, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, somebody messed up and wasn't where it was supposed to be. I'm sorry. And then you talk – and those two players who might have been involved in – maybe should have been in the spot – were Jordan Brooks and Bradley Chubb. Those are not the rookies. So, like, the whole thing is blaming on the rookies when they're young. Sorry, not buying it. It's also not – can we not pretend that it's, like, a massively, wildly talented group? And I know there are a lot in the media, in the South Florida media, not you, Omar, but you know who they are. We're talking about, well, this front seven is going to be one of the best in the NFL. Why? I mean, Jordan Brooks had a very good year last year, but is he Bobby Wagner? Is he Fred Warner? No. Your studs up front, who's really shown up so far? The one who's been the most noticeable is Jalen Phillips, and he doesn't have a sack because he hasn't been able to finish yet. And Bradley Chubb, who's got 3 sacks, with all due respect, has done nothing other than be there to finish. and then the secondary, which we know, and to me, the cornerbacks actually haven't played that bad. Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones.
I agree with that.
But it's not, I think the expectations for the defense were way, way overblown. And it's a combination of factors. I'm not buying that it's all Anthony Weaver. Sorry.
I mean, so, hold on. Overblown from the standpoint they were a top five defense with what I believe was less talent.
Oh, and I don't agree with you. First of all, you have the one difference-making cornerback on the field last year.
Okay.
Who some fans will tell you didn't have that great a year. He still was still a top 10 cornerback in the NFL. Sorry. And you know I'm not a huge fan of the dude. But
I don't disagree with you, but the secondary is second. Nobody's Minka. Javon Holland is not Minka. You got Pat.
Have we noticed Minka? Minka's coming.
We haven't noticed. I said on paper.
Well, that's the thing. He's also coming off two very, very, very forgettable seasons in Pittsburgh, and everybody was kind of making numerical excuses or reason making for why that was. And the truth is, he has not been impactful. I mean, not microscopically.
Mm.
And then Chop Robinson, everybody assumed because he had a very good second half of last year, man, that guy's going to blow up. Sorry, he ain't blowing up. So,
do you think dropping the pass rushers into coverage is a thing that needs to stop?
Please, please, please. Yesterday.
So that's your only knock on Weavers. Just stop dropping the pass rushers into coverage.
It's the outside linebackers of a 3-4 scheme. Are they not supposed to be versatile and able to drop back in coverage? Not to say that they're good at it, but that's
correct. If they're not, the idea of a coach is to maximize your strength and minimize your weaknesses.
So are you saying that they need to play a 4-3? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm
saying. Or use Willie Gay as an edge defender instead of. For example, like you said, I'd rather have him dropping coverage than Jalen Phillips, to be honest with you.
Okay.
With all due respect.
All right.
TD, what's your thoughts? Is Weaver to blame?
Weaver is not to blame, but he is responsible. Chris Greer is to blame. I'd argue we have a bottom five defensive roster in the NFL. Who do we have? Minka, who's being a shell of himself or picking up where he left off in Pittsburgh. Nope. And Chubb, who's getting cleanup sacks. Yes, those are cleanup sacks.
They count.
Yeah, they count. They count. But looking at the film, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi. Yeah. He got him. So, you know, I'm looking for the bam, 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 2 seconds. I got you done. You know, dominant like they were like last night. But, so this roster, who's on it? Who's on it? I mean, Jalen Phillips running that motor, but same Phillips we knew before the injuries, just missing. Yeah, a lot of pressures, but just been like, just fit it. Just
always can't fit overshoots. It. Always.
Yeah.
Overshoots.
So who's on this defensive roster? So
you have Zach Sealer, who has been very good.
You know I don't count him.
He has been very good. You can't deny the fact that he was very good the past few seasons.
20 sacks the past two seasons.
Yeah, but we talk about now, and this is what I foresee. I foresaw this. See, this is the problem. You want to pay guys when they're coming out of their prime and we about to rebuild. But then we're not going to get back on that. This defensive roster don't have anything that can stand on its own and be dominant on its own. Everything we have has always contributed from the complement of the group, with the exception of maybe Minka. But this version, that's irrelevant. So, again, he's not to blame. But he is responsible, though. Why? Because I've seen some defensive coordinators or head coaches that was defensive coordinators do more with less. I'll go out on a limb. The beginning of the rebuild, when we got rid of everybody in Tunsil, the no-name defense takes no talent, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all remember those slogans? Those slogans that had accountability in it. When they struggled and he galvanized, that's when Nick Needham made a name for himself.
Oh, 5 wins.
Hey, you know, we could talk about the wins, but guess what? That was more so on offense and your boy, too. But that's another conversation.
Sorry, Omar, they were 10-6 in 2020.
Oh, which is true. So okay. Stop throwing out false stuff, Omar. But but he's responsible. But here's what I'll tell you. This shows you that 2 or 3 pieces can make all the difference. They missed Calais Campbell in the impact he had last year to go next to Sealer to actually schematically do what Weaver wants to do. All right. They miss Ramsey, even though Ramsey, you know, whatever the case was, he at least can hold down his side or his area and what he needed to do. But now we need the safeties to do this. We need people dropping in coverage that's supposed to be brushing the passer. All of this is because Weaver's trying to create a system where everybody helps each other. And last year we could do that, but we didn't have to do it in every position. So that's what we're dealing with right now. I'm not blaming Weaver, but I will say this, and I just did.
You said he was responsible.
No. I said that he's not to blame, but he is responsible. So he's not to blame. Chris Greer giving him this roster is to blame, but he still got to make lemonade with lemons. You know, he still got to make it happen.
Here's the thing, though, TD, to be fair, you're like kind of putting him up against a guy who Omar, I know you don't like him as a person or as a head coach, but can we all agree as a defensive X's and O's guys, that dude's an all-timer.
Who, Brian Flores?
What?
Yes, Brian
Flores. No question. No question.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I wouldn't have said that until I watched the Patriots documentary, those last few Super Bowls, and I actually saw him on the sideline and Bill coming to him and the stuff he was doing. That was his defense. Everybody's like, Bill Belichick defense. Belichick gave him that defense for those last few years. Mm-hmm. Belichick would come to him in that documentary on the side. All right, what you got here? Okay, what should this and that? And Flores telling him, he going to the team. That was his defense. But a lot of people don't know that. They just like, oh, he was a, you know, not titled defensive coordinator for the Patriots because Belichick didn't want to give nobody titles, so he can kind of hide them. Yeah, he didn't make him a defensive coordinator, but that was the role he was really playing. Yeah. But again, let me say this last thing. Even though I said what I just said, Weaver's overrated anyway. Weaver is overrated. We've been giving him all kudos. Oh, we got Anthony Weaver, and then the first year, first of all, that defense bent but didn't break.
It did.
But at the same token, and it didn't get any turnovers. It mm-hmm. wasn't impactful to help the offense.
Didn't have many sacks either, but they still finished.
But Omar, there are offenses playing just as bad as our offense, and their defense is helping them win games
mm-hmm.
by turning the football over, making plays in that way. So that's where we're missing, and that's what we need. Guys with good hands, eyes, feet. That's a Flores thing, by the way. But yeah.
So let me ask you guys this, because Sealer, I even tweeted out today that we need more from Sweet Sealer. And you know, we saw for the past 2 years him do very well, Christian Wilkins, and he had Calais Campbell on his one side. So I just looked up. I wanted to see the double team rate of these defensive linemen, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, the fact that Chubb and Phillips and Chop are not getting consistent pressure, is that hurting? He's getting double teamed 61.25% of the time. Do you think that is what's hurting him not being productive, is the fact that the guys on the outside are not getting the pressure? So they're just focusing on, okay, their only guy who's really good on this D-line is Sealer. Let's just focus on him. Even Kenneth Grant is getting like 58% double teams. Do you think that's why Sealer's kind of like for the past 3 weeks kind of fallen off a little bit, is because they're just 62% of the time are double teaming?
How do you double team both?
Well, no. It's actually right, Omar. You got to look at it like this from a number standpoint, right? That's actually not even a crazy number, because you have five offensive linemen, and when you're rushing four, your tackles are the main ones that's pretty almost on every play getting that double team.
I don't disagree with you, but the center picks up one or the other. One's 61%, one's
50%. But you're not considering the amount of plays that have 22 personnel.
What's Benito Jones's percentage right now? Throw that to me.
13.
I gotta find it.
It's gonna take me a minute.
Yeah, it's you know.
Jordan Phillips is 47%.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people run 22 personnel against us.
It also depends on who's on the field, who's not on the field.
They alleviate what's supposed to be our strength. They run a lot of 22 personnel against our
team. If you run 22 personnel against Miami, that puts Willie Gay on the field. That would play into their strengths. I think that that's an ideal situation for Miami.
When did the Bills have two backs in the game?
What'd you say?
When did the Bills have two backs in the game?
Well, I'm not particularly talking about the Bills. Are we talking about the Bills game?
No, it's the season in general.
Yeah, the season. You go look at the Colts game, they stayed in it. Matter of fact, they even had an extra. They stayed in it.
Anyway.
What is your thought, Doug? Because you didn't answer. Is Weaver at fault?
I think Weaver, his team, and I agree with you guys that, you know, especially, you know, you look at the reset that we have going on here, it definitely hurt the defense more than it hurt the offense. Because the only thing that really changed on the offense was the offensive line. And we thought it was a little bit better. And then all of a sudden, everyone got hurt, like we all kind of expected. But it's some of his schemes that drive me nuts. Like, you know, I was saying to Allen, stop dropping these guys into coverage. I know you, like, I get it because in certain aspects it works, but it works if you're getting consistent pressure, because then you're faking out the offensive lineman thinking, he's not. Who do I block? Where it's like, we're not getting pressure. So you drop him back and the guy's like, oh, I'm just going to take this guy. And then they still have 9 days and you have, you know, either Chubb blowing his assignment or Phillips chasing people. So that's where I blame him. But again, I agree with TD that he inherited, or he has a team where Greer was like, we're going to go young with the corners and you got these guys, which again, I'm one that was excited for the pass rush, but never really took a step back and realized two of them haven't really played football in a while, and Chubb and Phillips, and you know, what is Sealer going to do? And we're depending on two rookies, which again, that worried me. I wanted to add a bit more defensive linemen because I'm like, you're depending on two rookies to get consistent pressure. So, you know, I'm kind of both. I blame him in a certain aspect, but then also I blame the players on the field. It's just, in all honesty, it's just a hot mess right now. And, you know, the second half, that fourth quarter of the Bills game, it started to work, you know, and hopefully we can build off that because we're facing a Jets offense that's not very good. So you just got to stop the run, which we've already shown.
Anybody seen Chop Robinson, by the way? Anybody seen him? Huh?
He's got one sack.
But have you seen him outside of that?
But here's the thing. Omar, here's the thing. I know, because I hate that we get so hung up on the numbers, is you watch certain games, and obviously I understand that he is one of very few. But, for example, guys like Max Crosby and Chad Hutchinson, I don't care how many sacks they get, you notice them the entire
disruption.
Game. And the Dolphins don't have anybody right now who is coming anywhere near that level. And I don't care. Like, in the closest one, like I said, Jalen Phillips. And it's still not to that same level.
It's funny, too, because they have a chip percentage, which is the percentage of time, obviously, they get chipped. And he's up there, Chop. He's like 15%. No, 10.8%. He's getting chipped at the line of scrimmage.
See, for me, Doug, those are all excuse stats, because you said Sealer has 61% double teams. Then can you do something with the other 39%?
Yeah, you still got to give me Benito Jones' percentage.
I can't even find him on the list. So I think it might be a certain amount of snaps.
What side are you using? Please don't take Pro Football Focus.
Well, hold on. No. It don't take nothing to look at a play and see somebody being double teamed.
All right.
It's the only outlet that has real, true analytical stats.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah, you are, Omar. You are.
I'm not arguing with you. Y'all enjoy those grades.
Okay? I ain't talking about the grades. I don't like the grades. Statistics, I'll look at the statistics.
I respect the statistics and the things that quantifiable you can't debate, like yards after catch or yards after contact.
They're not always on the field at the same time either.
I understand that, but we got a lot of people getting double teamed and chipped. And that's a lot of people getting double teamed and chipped. Like, what is Bradley Chubb? But Bradley Chubb, like 5% double team to chip? Like, the number's not adding up here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, because their grades.
It's important to look at the raw data.
Who was I with the other day? And we were talking about somebody specifically. And it was the offensive line coach, I think Eric Smith. And he was watching his video. And he was breaking down how the offensive line was performing. And I forget what defender it was, but he was like, this is not a regular one-on-one assignment. This is if you take on this block one-on-one and you get a stalemate, you know, that's a win. And I remember vividly, it was 4th of July, I was at a Brandon Marshall 4th of July party with fireworks, and a GM was there, and the GM basically said the exact same thing about why you can't believe in Pro Football Focus numbers. And Richie Incognito had told me about it. Brian Hartline had told me about it. And now this was over a decade ago. And now everybody cites this as the gospel, the absolute truth. And and there's no competition. No,
nothing. No, there is. Like
it's
I like
the gospel when it backs up your argument.
Exactly. Exactly. Like FTN, that's a good site. And they have like different, like you could look at coverage base, and these are all numbers. There's no grades. It's the grades that throw me off. Like, I don't like that. Speaking of grades and a guy who doesn't have good grades, Tua. What the crap is going on with Tua?
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. Tua has bad grades on PFF.
Oh, PFF.
Bad grades. What's going on with Tua? Because
the offensive line. It's the offensive line, Omar. Go ahead.
Hasn't he thrown three costly interceptions this season?
Four. Mm-hmm. One guy called back. So go ahead.
Stop.
I don't know if that was costly.
That was too early in the game.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the game.
We're talking about.
He could have bounced back.
Two costly interceptions.
No. The first game, didn't he have one in the first game?
He got beat by 25. That wasn't costly. They were getting their asses kicked regardless. One against New England, one against Buffalo.
Okay, all right. I'll let that slide. But his three turnovers contributed to the loss.
Sure.
Let's 100%. He looked off, man. He doesn't look – his ball security is gone. His pocket presence is gone. He looks like Ryan Tannehill when he had the bad offensive line where he's got the he's tap dancing back there. At one point, he started running –
Doug.
Don't disrespect Ryan Tannehill like that.
He at one point looked like Shedeur Sanders in the preseason game where he ran backward. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I think that was a positive play, though, or a throwaway.
Like Mahomes just did.
Yeah. When Mahomes does it, or when Mahomes underthrows Tyreek, it's okay. But when Tua does it, it's, you know, big problem. Popgun arm.
They got two plays of Mahomes underthrowing Tyreek, and they use it every time.
I'm going to talk to the reasonable, intelligent person of this group, and I'm
talk to me, Omar. Talk.
I'm going to agree with you.
It's going to take a long time to figure that.
It's funny that you say that because I was looking at that Bills game, and I knew it was going to be a for how forceful the Bills defensive line is. I think the offensive line actually did an adequate job for who they are. Okay, for who they are, and Tua did a very good job of escaping pocket presence until the final interception.
Serious?
He did scrambling and gaining a first down. But here is my point. You expect a quarterback to play with poise and presence and make tough throws and thread the needle, which we've all seen Tua do throughout the years, with crap in front of him as an offensive line. And it's constant. So eventually you get shell-shocked. And
then move on from him if he's too traumatized.
He's like, broken then, Omar. Let's go ahead and get a Justin Herbert who's
Ryan
going through
Tannehill
the same thing.
Broken too, and then the Tennessee Titans found a way to fix him.
Did you watch any of the Chargers game where Herbert was getting pounded the entire game and was still making throws?
I don't watch Chargers games.
We know.
Educate you a little bit. Can we all agree on this, though? Because you're right. Tua looks shell-shocked. He looks like he's getting happy feet very quickly. Yeah. And I saw, like, the pressure rate in some places. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Let me rewatch the game because I didn't see that. And I rewatched the game, and I counted 8 times when there was pressure on him. A couple of times that was late pressure. And this notion that the pass protection was garbage is BS.
He has a low pressure number, believe it or not.
Yes.
One of the lowest in the NFL.
Because he gets the ball out of his hand quick.
Not always. Wow. Sorry, not always.
He does.
Not always.
When do you see Tua take a 5-step drop? Never.
There were several plays where he had plenty of time in the pocket.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
5-step drops usually require passes over 40 yards, so.
I know. It also requires protection from your offensive line.
He's Omar, a legend in the NFL.
Like the final play that everybody is, you know, Tua's garbage, Tua sucks, Tua throws to a linebacker again. Tua
nobody
doesn't
said that, Omar.
Nobody
on.
Said
no, 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 no. That's the narrative, and I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that because if you're getting paid what you're getting paid, and it's not $54 million for you people, I'm sick of this narrative. $54 million
is a cap number.
Oh, who cares? Everybody's cap numbers.
That's not new.
I know. We're gonna have to have a discussion.
Like, y'all don't want to start with me on that.
Move on.
If you're getting paid that much money, you need to be delivering in the clutch. And right now, I am a Tua fan. I like, respect Tua. I think he has a good game if you put the white weapons around him. His offensive line is crap. But when you get paid that much money, you need to be delivering in the clutch moments. And he's not doing it. He has done it throughout his career. He's not doing it now.
He has not done it in the clutch very often in his career. I don't know what the hell you have been watching, my friend. And here's
it's tangible, Doug. Go find the fourth quarter victories. Tua's fourth quarter
victory. One out of every 32 games, this man has a moment. Yeah. And we love Luke. Do you see what they're doing on X? We are the only fan base that will play high school and college highlights.
Actually, I will say this.
Year six.
I will say this. The Cincinnati Bengal fans are turning on Joe Burrow. Yep. I've seen it, and it's bad. They want him gone. Another season, we're going to be without him. You know what?
That means they have high standards. They have high standards. Very high.
Bengals? Come on, bro.
I was about to say, like, come on.
They don't even have a scouting department still.
So overall,
the NFL season stops and the Bengals go, okay, let's start looking at some college players now. Like,
so from what I'm picking up from my group here, the problems with Tua, shell-shocked, offensive line. What else? What else are we feeling? What's going on?
Receivers not coming back to the
offensive line. Please stop with offensive
line. It is offensive line.
It is a factor you have to take in. He's got the Eagles offensive line in front of him.
Doug, but Jalen Hurts out here running for his life too? This happens.
Everybody's running for their life.
Again,
exactly.
Thank you.
You're comparing apples to oranges.
But we're actually not Doug. I mean, there are some quarterbacks out here that are running for their life quite a bit. Like, look at Lamar last night. Yeah. He didn't convert much on it. But did Tua have to run for his life more than Lamar Jackson last night?
Nope.
Not once this season. But that's all
we're talking about. We're talking about the three game. If we can't pick out one games here and there.
But this is every game for most of these guys. This is what we're not paying attention to.
Wait a minute.
I see quarterbacks making plays on these.
You are obsessed with the plays with your legs. That's not to his game. Stop.
Yeah.
I'm not obsessed with the plays with the legs, Omar. What I'm saying to you is in today's NFL, it is a requirement.
And that's part of the problem.
And therefore, you are obsessed with the plays with the legs. And you
I'm
think
not obsessed. It's just not a requirement. Legs.
If Tom Brady was still in his prime, would he still be good?
Yes.
He ain't got legs.
He would because he's one of the rare people who knows how to call. Tua don't call protections. Tua don't shift protections. Tua don't audible. No, he doesn't. No, he didn't. Tua does not shift protections.
How do you know?
Because these are things that you would actually see him go to the line and do.
I've seen it in the film breakdown when I pointed it out.
You've probably seen it once again, once every 32 games.
You just said he doesn't do it. You just said he doesn't do it.
That's what y'all hold on to. Y'all say, well, he's done it.
We'll solve this problem for you, TD, when we talk to Frank Smith and Mike McDaniel this week. We'll identify.
He's not going
to
believe it because he's going to say, what else are they going to say?
Precisely,
what else are they going to say?
Here's the thing. Hold on.
How can Tua call protections and ship protections in an offense that has motions and everything?
Hold on. Tua can come in. This is the problem. This is the whole problem, the debate on X and everything, right? People assume. Right. People assume they know what the play is. People assume they know what the read is. Mm-hmm. People assume they know these things. Right. Everyone's assuming. And then when you ask the coaches and the coaches say, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh,
nobody believes
that long touchdown against the Giants. No. You are actually audible to it. They don't believe it. What else are they going to say? So it's a moot point.
Doug, some things, all you need are your eyes. The difference between Tom Brady and what he used to do, when he saw coverage pre-snap, he didn't just go to, okay, tapping the helmet. He went to his line, told him the protection he wanted. He called a new play, orchestrating the offense, literally telling the back, everybody's getting a new play. You have never, Doug, even in this case, not one time have you ever seen Tua do such a thing. Nick Saban said it himself. These guys don't know how to call their protections. They don't know their 1-2 protections.
Hold on, TD, hold on.
Nick Saban said this after Tua was drafted. We don't teach it anymore. Nick Saban said it.
You want Tua to go up to the line, call protections, point him out. I've seen him do it, right?
Well, maybe he don't even know how to read what's coming. So that's why he doesn't. When are we going to be honest? At what point are we going to have an honest conversation?
Stop.
So you want the whole shebang, right? You want the Peyton Manning going up.
It's your six.
Omaha, all this stuff, right? And again, you're not going to like my answer, and I know you're going to make a face. Has no time.
Yeah.
There it is.
Tom Brady, when he saw a play that he knew he wouldn't have time, he'll get him in a play that'll either give him time or get rid of the ball quick. He would make that adjustment. You don't need time when you have this.
When you're getting a delay of game penalty in the huddle, it's a problem.
Yeah, now, of course, because we got to run this system with motion. I'm not saying that
Tua is absolved of anything. Obviously, I want to move on from him already because I've already seen what I need to. But I will push back on things that, you know, it's a gray area. And that's why I said the whole thing is just a big gray area because we don't know. We don't know these things. And the players and the coaches and everyone can come out and say things. And the rebuttal is always, what else are they going to say? Teron Armstead can come out and have this whole talking point about Tua this and what he does great. And then the response is, well, what else is he going to say? Teron Armstead can come out and say, no, honestly, this is it. And then what else? So it's a moot point because there's no proof.
The proof is in the results.
The results, and here's the problem, right? The results can be on Tua, and it has been multiple times. We've seen it with our own eyes, but there's also 10 other people on that field that the results also can be a problem with.
Well, the topic was Tua, and that's what we're talking
about. We meandered very far off of that topic.
He is struggling for the first three games of the season. You could put all the blame on these losses on him.
Let's just pile it on.
Jet Fan for Life gets it. He gets what
now,
I'm doing.
Now let's move forward and see how he performs, see how he reacts. Because right now, there's nothing that Tua could do right. There's nothing that Mike McDaniel could do right. There's nothing that Chris Greer could do right. Okay, we get it. Show me how you respond. Because I don't want to hear anything else. I will tell you, in the locker room, after the games, Tua is constantly talking to his receivers and players about if they do this next time, we do this, we do that. The game's over and it's meaningless now, but they're building on something. Why is the offense out of sync? I have absolutely no idea. There are things, and Mike McDaniel talked about it in the offseason. Every team has different strengths and different weaknesses. So don't just assume because you come back with this personally, the same personnel, you have the same strengths and the same weaknesses or same abilities you did last year. You don't. And this has been clear. If it were up to me, Miami would be in the I formation about 60% of the plays because I think that's their best formation. That's their best play action formation. That's their best running formation. It puts their personnel on the field. That's a strength for them. But you know what? The I formation doesn't work when you're trailing by 12 points. It doesn't work when you're trailing by two scores. It's not going to fool anybody play action. Tua's the genius at the RPO. They have tutorial videos teaching kids about the RPO using Tua at Alabama. There's nobody who coaches him who will not tell
you. He's in Alabama anymore.
There's nobody who coaches him who will not tell you. He is an RPO specialist. Do they run the RPO?
Superpower.
No, they don't.
Can I say something? You guys have been talking for the last 20 minutes, and I've been like, we're going to move on. All I'll say is, Omar, no, it's not all on Tua at all. But what's undeniable is he's getting very queasy. There's a different word in the pocket.
Antsy.
Overly so. Mm-hmm. And it's not all on the offensive line, mm-hmm. which has been gotten completely destroyed publicly by a lot of fans to an insane degree. That's completely not fair. And it doesn't help that Tua, again, the second there's somebody even remotely close to him, all of a sudden it's like,
That's true.
And that's a major issue. And I don't know if he's got trauma or the cumulative effect of the injuries over the past couple of years.
How about everybody hammered in your head that you can't get hit. Stay healthy. How about that?
It could be a thing, but that's not
available. He's available.
Can't operate like that. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. That's for both sides, because the offensive line, the weakness for us was the offensive side. The weakness was the offensive line. They're actually doing pretty well. The defensive side, the weakness was the secondary. They're doing pretty well. Real quick before we get to the donations, just a yes or no. We lose on Monday. Mike McDaniel getting fired. Omar?
Nope.
Alan?
If it has to be a yes or no, no.
TD?
If we lose by more than 20, yeah.
All right. There we go. Let's get to these donations. Noel B with the fiver said, Tua has been inept with the weapons he currently has. Do we really think Waller is going to move the needle?
Yep.
A little bit.
It occupies a linebacker who right now is just picking off his balls.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. What, Omar?
Yeah.
Phil Jones. We're going to clip that one.
Griff Whalen, Omar. I'm going to bring it up.
I got my rivalry jersey today. It's nice and soft, just like my team. It's a bourbon also. It catches all my tears.
Oh, my God.
Marvin with the fiver says, how much of a factor do you think Ollie Gordon will be in this game? Run that man more.
He's not the magic answer. He's not better than Devon Achan, but he's talented, and he should be a complimentary back. I'm glad he's the number two.
He's so good.
Ditto.
The fact that he gets hit and he still gains yards, I just love it. Just love it. RJ with the tenor says, sorry I missed Friday's stream. You're grounded. Tua has drastically regressed. In the fourth quarter, he shrivels up like an eggplant in the cold pool. And obviously, he doesn't mean eggplant. I used to defend him, but it's clear he's not our future. I'm so done with him. Yeah, these past two games really put a nail in that coffin of, you know, and that's the talking point that I am now like, yeah, I can back, is you're supposed to be the franchise quarterback, and the franchise quarterback makes the throws that we need them to make in the fourth quarter, and he's not doing it.
So don't give up on Tua, y'all. Keep the faith. He's still got 14 games.
Leno TV with the $5 donation. Can the clever, humble, ordinary, trustworthy beat writer Omar Kelly tell TD moral victories do not count in the win column? 0-3, the Bills own you.
You hold on, wait a minute. You claiming moral victories, TD?
No, that wasn't it. I was at the game, right?
Yeah.
And I was in like the Caesar Sportsbook Lounge. We had an event, and they were quiet, Omar. Bills fans were shook.
There was a moment in the game in the fourth quarter. You could hear a pin drop.
They were shook.
When Tua was driving down the field, you could hear a
pin I was proud.
I had never seen anything like that ever in the stadium.
Oh, my God.
Like,
it did.
You could hear the calls on the field. It was so quiet in the game. And I was like, what the hell?
You would have thought it was a practice. You were right. It was like, no, seriously, it was silent. People were like, they're driving.
Because
he kept doing it on third down, too. He kept doing it on third down. Like, Tua, I don't know what it was on that drive. He would do something ridiculous on second down, but make up for it on third. Mm-hmm. And it just kept happening, and it was a pin. You could hear a pin drop. And I was like, ooh, y'all shook.
they were shook. I was like, what is going on? Because our view is one of the better venues, because we're not actually super far from the field. You know, most of the time we're in, like, nosebleeds. And so fans sit right in front of us. So when stuff happens, they turn around, they start banging on the glass. Because they know that's the section.
That's why Alan doesn't go into more away games.
and literally, you're hearing silence in a whole stadium. It was like you were at a church service. I was like, what is – I've never seen him like that.
I wish they would have won, obviously, because we would have beat Buffalo, but I would have loved to see what TD would have done to those Bill fans if they would have won.
No, I had already had my exit plan because if we won, I was getting up out of there. I knew they wouldn't be able to take that.
Put a blanket over your head, get them out of there, man. They would have put you through the table.
I wanted to jump
Bill
through
fans,
a table.
Bill fans are great.
Fans,
you gotta watch out for. You go get your smacks. You gonna get slapped up in there. Like Oakland fans are bad, and Eagles fans are bad.
Oakland, you said.
Yeah. Raiders. I don't know about Vegas, but Raiders fan, they travel.
Doesn't Philly have a jail cell in the bottom of the stadium?
A holding cell. They have a holding cell.
It's bad. Dedrick with the tenor says, I think Tua's regression is due to his hip injury in Houston last year. Interesting. Even less mobility and velocity than his usual standard and more jitters in the pocket. This is not the same guy before
I will admit something here. Just go look at his last three deep balls. He's not getting it from his base. He's not reaching into his base to get it. He is like literally, he's using his
body.
Upper body. And I'm like, something's off.
Here's another question.
We can all speculate, but I'm just saying it is not mechanic. He is not mechanically sound.
So after he got injured last year, supposedly in the rumor mill, the Dolphins wanted him to just specifically work with the Dolphins, and he stopped working with QB3D. And obviously before that, he stopped working with Nick Hicks. Like you said, and I even noticed it, that deep ball, he like cocked his back and like it was just like a messy. Do you think that's also a regression? Is he's really losing the fundamentals of his passing because he's not working with anyone anymore? Interesting.
No. Omar just don't want to say that, so let's keep it going.
Devin with the fiver says, I like the way McDaniel used Malik Washington similar to a Debo Samuel in the backfield. He's a bright spot, bright spot.
Pass.
Felix Shorts with the tour said, by the way, this all started because of Tua 2020 FU career.
Y'all leave Greer alone, man.
Thank for Tua, baby.
Yeah, you're the president of the organization.
I will say this. If you go back and you look at everyone's big board and all that stuff, they had Tua in the top 10, and they had Justin Herbert around the 15 to 20s in their prospects ranking. So it wasn't just the Dolphins. And even Charger fans were hoping we took Justin Herbert, so Tua went to them. So hindsight.
It wasn't universal like that.
It wasn't universal, but that was the majority.
Yeah.
The only person on national television that was rallying Herbert over Tua was Mike Tannenbaum. And I just knew he was
Chris
wrong.
Chris Sims also.
Bring him back. Bring Tannenbaum back. That was supposed to be his pick.
What the fiver said, watch the end of the Chargers game if you want to see what a franchise quarterback should be doing.
You didn't see that, Omar? Pass from Herbert.
I've seen the highlights. I've seen the scrambling to the side, throwing.
I will say this. It was nice.
You never seen that in your life, did you?
Even the deep pass the week before was nice. It's all nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see what he does in the playoffs. Because two times in the playoffs, crap the bed.
I'm no longer comparing Tua to Justin Herbert. Comparing him to all of his peers. And right now, Joe Burrow's viewed as elite. You've got Herbert, who's out here doing impressive things with a great quarterback coach. You've got Jalen Hurts.
You know who his quarterback coach is, Omar? Since you threw it out, go ahead. Who's his quarterback coach?
His quarterback coach is Pat White. No.
Pat White's back in West Virginia, I believe. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Harbaugh. I was talking about Harbaugh.
Oh, no, he's the head coach. His quarterback coach is Shane Day, former Dolphin assistant.
God, he.
Hell no.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, he is.
I just looked it up.
Yes,
we can't win, boy. We get rid
of it. Wow. Anyway, what was I saying before I got totally distracted?
Comparing to the Herbert.
His peers.
His peers, Hurts. Like, Hurts has won a championship. Hurts played in two Super Bowls.
Or went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't care about the Super Bowl trip. Are you playing at Love? Love is the guy, and Love is the guy that Brian Flores wanted. And he took a longer time to develop, But right, and yeah, he just threw a Tua-esque interception. That's what I'll call them from now on, because y'all pretend like nobody but Tua throws those interceptions.
Wow, you're turning on your dude.
No, I'm just gonna call it a Tua-esque interception because nobody but Tua throws those. Nobody but Tua throws picks that linebackers step in front of.
Oh my god! Wow.
Even though Justin Love just did it.
Oh, Jordan Love.
I'm combining.
Justin Love hurts. There you go. Justin Joe Love hurts. Anyway, Joe with the viewer. But
if we're gonna stack up his peers, which we're doing, that's what we're doing. All of his peers are ahead of him. Mm-hmm. All of them.
All their names start with a J. Joe, Justin,
Jalen, Jordan. Except for Tua.
That's the problem.
That's the problem right there.
Our next quarterback, his name has to be Jalen. <It does.
laughs> Joseph, Jalen, Jerry, Jeffrey.
Oh, man.
Joe, hey, do you want to be the next quarterback? with the $2 donation said.
His feet are telling him. That's the interesting thing. This is year six of Tua, and this is the first time I'm actually hearing him obsess about his feet and what his feet are telling him. I've never heard him talk about that before. My feet are telling me that I should move on to my progression, but I didn't. My feet are telling me this. Like, bro, okay, try, you know, do you have to play in rhythm? Can you do anything else?
It's the timing. All right. That's the thing. No, not being funny. That's actually the problem. He's used to the hitches. He's used to releasing it on a certain foot. So now if it's not there and he actually reads it,
yeah.
My feet saying I got to go to the next. Like, but hold on, let it develop. It's coming.
He does. There's even a couple where the guy's open immediately, and he's not making that throw like he always used to. Like he had
Malik Washington against the Bills one time. That's weird.
That is weird.
It's not even just firing it into the blind spot. He's just like, I'm telling y'all, he's trying to actually truly post snap process.
Mm.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. Before, it's just the timing, put it in the spot, receiver, get there. Yeah, now he's trying to be careful and it's hurting him.
It's funny because he said in the New England game, these are all things that I'm accounting and tabulating. He says in the receiver game, on the deep pass to Tyreek, I told Tyreek in this situation, no matter what they threw, I'm gonna throw it to you, you make it right. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, that's how you played in 2022 and 2023. Why'd you stray away from it? Like, why did you get away from it? That was working for you guys. But, you know, we are where we are.
Yep. Jam Production with the Fiverr says.
Right there. We are where we are.
Yep.
Can I steal that?
You got to credit me and quote me when you say that, okay? It's like booty cheeks. And I tried so hard to get into my column today.
Is Darren Waller really being counted on to replace future Hall of Famer Julian Hill? In a certain aspect, yeah.
No, they don't even play the same position.
Nope.
Fish Pilot with the tenor said, all these people who want to change to Wilson or Ewers, why? We're cruising to a top three pick as is. Maybe we finally get a decent GM. Now, Tua will win you games. If Tua's the quarterback the full season, we'll probably be picking around 11.
Play like they did versus the Bills. We're going to win some games.
Yeah. Phil Jones with the fiver. 3 minutes to go in the game. You're on your own 20, first down. Why did they even run a pass play on their 20? Perfect time for Ollie. You want to burn the time away. Yeah, I said that on Friday. You do what you did before halftime. Tree with the fiver said, why do we keep drafting O-linemen and asking them to play out of position? Jackson, Eichenberg, Dieter, Jonah.
You draft the best offensive lineman, and so that means that a school has. That means technically your whole line should be left tackles. And you figure out where they slot and where they fit in.
I don't know if that formula is working for us, though.
It's not. It's not the formula. It's their inability to evaluate and select good offensive linemen. I no longer have any trust and faith in their ability to evaluate talent on the offensive line. And it's not just Chris Greer. It's everybody.
Wasn't that the big knock on Flores? Can never fix the O-line?
Which is why
I did not like the idea of trading up into the second round to go get Jonah.
But it was a safe move for them because it was a proven commodity, even though I'm gonna be real with you, and I think I've said this before, I wasn't a big Jonah fan when I looked at this film.
Why do you say proven commodity though, Omar?
Because a lot of people in the evaluation community said that there are 10 offensive linemen who are day one ready starters, and Jonah was the last of them left. And they traded up to get the last one that's left. Me personally, I just would have doubled down on Tate Rutledge and some of the Georgia kids, and then be like, y'all figure it out, however we pan out. But I would have taken an offensive lineman in the first round. I would not have taken Kenneth Grant. I would have doubled down on defensive tackles. I think all of my mock drafts prove that that's the strategy that I would have taken. I would have also added more offensive linemen in the later rounds. But you know what? These are the Dolphins, and the Dolphins going to do what Dolphins do.
Christian with the fiver said, is there a reality where the Dolphins could make a move for a quarterback like Burrow, perhaps a vet with a proven experience? Tua is holding the offense back. Again, from my understanding, the only way they move on from Tua is trading him, and you got to trade that contract with him.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's going to be
$4 million. Go ahead.
I don't think that's impossible. It just depends on where certain people land in the NFL. But
it's going to be a big switch around next year. I'm telling you. Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Kyler Murray. I mean,
a lot of them guys.
Mayfield is a free agent. It's going to be
Baker a free agent.
Bucks are not, they're not re-signing Baker Mayfield. Are you serious?
No, but Baker's going to be a free agent. I think
you think you're not re-signing him or tagging him?
No. I don't disagree with you.
Didn't he just do a contract with them?
I don't think so.
A couple years ago. That's when I wanted the Dolphins to get him. I wanted the Dolphins to get him as a backup, which obviously.
Baker Mayfield?
Backup.
Yeah. I think that was the year. I think it was 2022, and that's when Tua got hurt. And I was like, see? But here's the thing. If we got Baker as a backup in 2022, he was not giving that job back to Tua because of the way he played. 2022, he left Cleveland. Yeah. So that was the year I was like, ooh, if we can get Baker, because Tua can't stay healthy.
No, he left Cleveland. He was traded to Carolina, got waived by Carolina, went to the Rams, and then signed as a free agent. And most of those times, those deals are like backdoor deals. But here's my thing. If Todd Bowles can solve his quarterback problems in one offseason after losing Tom Brady, like, why the hell?
A lot of people doing that.
You're right. Why the hell are we 20 years in the game and – it's just what it is.
It's the organization. Matt with the $10 said, can we get Ray Finkel to kidnap Tua? Then get Marino to go out after him. RJ with the fiver said, on a positive note, can we talk about how awesome Doug's t-shirt game is? I got Ninja Turtles on today.
I still have that t-shirt, Doug.
I'm a giant kid, so I don't wear anything but graphic t-shirts. It's just four movies.
Super Nintendo, Doug.
Yeah, I got them all.
You ain't got no Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
You're my boy, man.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah.
And then finally, Pug with the fiver says, I can handle with whatever this year. If the season ends in disaster, how much of a reset can be done next year? What percentage is Tua the quarterback next year? I think we're all in agreement that burn it all down. Like, will they, though? That's
not. I don't know. I would hope that they do, because that's literally in my mind, you're rotten from the roots. And
never. I like that.
Yeah, but it's if the season is a disaster, as the hypothetical suggestion, I think you have to blow it all up personally.
But what does blow it all up even mean?
That means get rid of anybody who's got a bloated salary.
You like get rid of Waddle?
Well, you build you keep.
I mean, the only people you have is Waddle and Tua. We already know Tyreek's on his last
leg. Yeah,
here's
the thing: everybody thinks that a reset has to be happening in 2026. What about a year where you're purging, selling, resetting in 2026? To move off from Tua and Waddle in 2027.
I'll tell you right now, real quick. So the Miami Dolphins are $14 million over the cap next year. You cut Tyreek Hill.
And you
cut Bradley Chubb. You cut Jordan Brooks.
No, you will not cut Jordan Brooks.
If we're burning it down, we're cutting Jordan Brooks.
Jordan Brooks is absolutely underpaid. You're not cutting Jordan Brooks.
Who else is getting cut? Let's cut Terrell Dotson. Again, we're burning it down. Cut Westbrook. All right, so I cut 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. You are now $38 million under the cap by cutting 5 people.
That ain't going to do nothing
for me. Westbrook makes $3 million. What's the point of cutting?
Yeah, Westbrook is not going to be here next year anyway.
You save 1.5 if you cut him.
You know the problem that we have with a potential rebuild? We've already invested draft capital as part of that rebuild, and we're going – I'm not saying these guys got to develop. They can get better. Mm-hmm. But if they missed on those, the rebuild itself already is starting with bad roots. Kenneth Grant and all of those guys, you're going to start putting pieces and you already have bad roots.
That doesn't mean they have to be superstars. They could just be foundational pieces. Kenneth Grant is just a foundational piece. Jonah is just a foundational piece. He's not. I don't think either of them are going to be superstars ever.
But then that's the problem. You drafted them like they're going to be a foundational.
Hold on, TD. Hold on. They need to be. I mean, I have to take charge here. They have to be 6-7 year solid starters, if not superstars. Go ahead. Go on ahead, Tony.
Will they? Will they, though?
Well, it's too early. You can't make that determination
yet. I know. I'm just saying. You like to see some of these guys get out the gate doing their thing right away.
He didn't unblock me. Sorry, but he didn't unblock me. So I'm going to talk about cutting him again because he ain't doing nothing. He didn't unblock me.
Did you ask to be unblocked? What is going on?
Just multiple times. I was on a whole campaign to get unblocked. And then, so I don't care no more. Face back, gosh darn it, we're getting out of here.
God, what did you do, Doug? See, I always say this. I always say, if you got blocked, you did something.
I did.
And you know what you did.
I honestly think it was I was talking about going when Max Crosby was potentially out there and available. I talked about, hey, we can move on from Chubb, save the cap space, get Max Crosby. He probably saw that and was like, yo, I'm out, block you. And so I deserve it. I'm not saying I deserve it, but I've apologized enough that I feel like I should be unblocked.
But he's going to end up a double-digit sack player this season, hopefully if he stays healthy. And people are going to be like, why did the Dolphins re-sign Bradley Chubb? Why did the Dolphins cut Bradley Chubb? Listen, I am at a point where it's going to be what it's going to be. Like,
We are where we are.
Yep, we are. Exactly. We'll end with that. We are what we are. I think that'll be the title Friday if that'll be the title next Tuesday if we lose. We are what we are. We are going to get out of here. We'll see you Friday, 6 o'clock. Go check out Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. Check out Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SITD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and the AFC East Roundtable and the AFC East Sports Channel. Go check them out. And you can check me out, youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. We out, Cub Scout. We will see you Friday.